It was a blessing to have people singing and playing. I'd like you to take your Bible tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. I'd just like to remind you of what's coming up. Next Sunday, Evangelist Joe Kaiser will be preaching, Lord willing, in the morning and the evening service. We've had trouble getting evangelists in the building this year. Something's always been going on, but Lord willing, Brother Kaiser will be with us next week. And then that week will be Vacation Bible School. There will be Wednesday night prayer meeting this week, but there will be no prayer meeting next week because we will be in the middle of VBS. And so we'll be praying about that. So if you're looking for a live stream or coming to church on a on Wednesday night, again, we'll be running with kids all over the place. And Lord willing, have a packed building full of young people in the church. Then we enter July. Now, what we normally have been doing for many, many years now in the months of July and August, we've had different men preaching for us. Some of our own men, as well as friends of ours in the ministry who come and preach. And so on Sunday nights for the next 2 months, we'll have different men preaching. Some of the guys that we've had in the past, and things of that nature. So I trust that you'll be here on the Sunday nights. We don't tell you who's preaching. It's a surprise. This way you can't say, I like this one, I don't like this one, this one's good, this one stinks. We don't do that. It's a surprise. And so they're all good as long as they preach the Word of God. Amen? Amen. As they're opening the Word of God, it'll be a blessing to you. And so we encourage you to be here. And what we try to do in the past is we've always had some kind of fellowship, a little dessert afterwards. And we may put a sign-up sheet if you want to help volunteer through the summer nights. We'll have you can bring a pie, donuts, whatever it is, and we can have a little fellowship afterwards. Somewhere along the line, come July, my blackberries will be coming in. We'll try and make some blackberry pies. I know Miss Myra is not a big fan of those, but we'll, in spite of that, we'll we'll try and we'll see what we can do. Amen. So again, we'll put up a sign-up sheet. You want to help bring some things of that nature on? It's just a little fun, summer, relaxing. We're having a good time in church. And just staying afterwards, you can play some carpet ball outside, things of that nature. So that's coming up. So we're going to finish out a series of messages that we've had trouble finishing for the last month because it's one thing after another. And so we're going to finish it tonight on the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And this has been a controversial topic for some. Some have been very upset about this topic and been mad at me. And we've had some heated discussions on the topic. But that's all right. I'm fine. I don't lose any sleep. I lose sleep is because my arm is killing me, not because of some church member aggravating me. And we want to look at the scriptures again. Divorce and remarriage is the difficult part for some people. They have trouble with that. Now, again, we are not here for this series of messages to try to encourage divorce. We have spent the length and bulk of this time discussing marriage and what marriage should be and how God gave us marriage and God designed marriage. God did not give us divorce. Man gave us divorce. And we also want to be very plain and clear that God does allow for divorce in the Bible. He gave all the legal arguments for it on how it's to be done. Now, I want you to understand this. This is a key thing to understand. Divorce is not sin because God allows it in the Bible. But sin led you to divorce. Do you understand the difference? Somewhere along the line, something happened in that marriage that caused the divorce to happen. Sometimes, you know, it could be 1,001 things. At the end of the day, it was sin that led you to that final and ultimate decision on somebody's part and maybe both people's parts. We have people in our church that are divorced and remarried. We have people who are divorced. We have people in the process of a divorce right now as we speak. And they're always unpleasant and difficult times. Anybody who's been through it understands. And so tonight we want to look at divorce among believers. And again, we're not here to encourage divorce in any way, shape, or form. We will do just the opposite and show you how, from Scripture, how God stresses just the opposite. And then we'll look at some controversial things. And Lord willing, we'll get through all this tonight. Again, I'm trying to take what's really going to be 3 weeks of Sunday nights and condense it into one night And so we, because I won't be preaching Sunday nights for the next 2 months. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10, it says, "And unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, and that word depart means divorce, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Now I want you to understand something. In verses number 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit of God, is dealing with Christians, believers, a husband and wife. Both of them are saved, but they're struggling and going and possibly facing divorce. In verses 12 through 16, the Apostle Paul deals with the topic of the Christian who is married to an unsaved person. And he deals with the topic of divorce in that area. But we want to center on verses number 10 and 11 as the Christian and divorce. Father, bless the time, bless the hour now, and speak to our hearts through your word, and help us have a clear understanding of what Scripture has to say. Bless now our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, these verses in the book of Corinthians must be understood in the light of all Bible passages. All Scripture, this is important, all Scripture must be put together, and all the verses on a certain topic must be looked at and put together to properly be understood. Too often people take one verse and they build a doctrine out of it and they ignore all of the verses completely. You have to look at all the verses. And in the Bible, you know, if you're going to study the topic of tongues, okay, you look up every passage in the Bible where the topic of tongues is dealt with, and you look at it and you compare this book, usually it's Acts and Corinthians, where tongues is mentioned, and you study that out to figure out what exactly is going on. You want to study the topic of sanctification, and look at every verse in the Bible on sanctification, so on and so forth. You want to put your doctrines together and come up with the right teaching on that topic. As we learned on Wednesday nights, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And what that simply means is that we can't take one verse and make it mean something while another verse may be adding to it. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. We can't let one verse stand on its own. The good Lord, when He designed us with two legs. And my friend, you and I are designed to walk on both feet, use both legs. If we were to go all our time with a good leg, and yet we tucked it up behind us and hopped around the rest of our life, it would do a lot of damage to us. It would physically wear out the one leg, the knee, the ankle, and the hip would all suffer terribly, as well as the back and the other parts as you spent your life hopping around. But with two legs, we can go through life on a fairly well basis unless something falls apart on us. Same thing with Scripture. You take one verse and try to make something out of it while ignoring the other, some damage will happen and bad things will occur. But when you put all the Scripture together, things will become harmonious as we look at it. The command in these verses is that the Christian wife and the Christian husband are not to divorce one another. That is what Paul is saying here. He's saying here, now listen, I command yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away or divorce his wife. So Paul in these verses is encouraging them on the topic of reconciliation. Don't divorce each other. Don't seek a divorce. Because as Christians, you understand you have every tool necessary to fix what is wrong in your marriage. You have something the world does not have. You have every tool in your tool. I know people who love tools. I like tools. A lot of people who collect tools. I knew a lady, she loved tools. I went to her house. I was jealous and I saw all the tools in her house. I mean, she had every sawzall and drill and I mean, I like, oh my soul. She worked in construction and she had every tool known to mankind. I was like, can I be in the will? I know you're not dying anytime soon, but this is awesome. And I like tools, but I don't buy them. My favorite thing is when Sears was in business, my wife would go off shopping. I would go off into the tool department. I didn't buy anything, but I just like walking around looking at all the tools. I thought my biggest dream in life is to own a ride-on tractor. I have about 6x6 piece of grass on my property, so it really doesn't do me good to have one of those things. Evan would probably like it. And we're done. And so, a ride on, look at that bad boy. I just like to have one of them things, but it's not practical around here. My friend, but when you have all the tools, people say, as a plumber, I go to a house, and I say, I tried to get this faucet off. I don't know how you do it. I say, well, you know why you can't do it? They go, why? And it's a certain tool. You don't have the right tool. You have the right tool, you can take this faucet off. And I go, and the faucet, 9 times out of 10, pops off unless it's some problems. You have to have the right tool. You have problems in your marriage? Usually it's because the flesh has gotten the way. What's the tool for the flesh? Well, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God will help with your flesh problem and fix it. Apostle Paul is saying here now, again, don't depart. But if she depart, remain unmarried. Why are you unmarried? Now, he's not saying you can never remarry. He's simply saying don't get married right away. Because you might want to work at this thing to try to get back together and get this marriage back together. That is the point he is making here. Don't remarry. Work it out and try to put your marriage back together. There is nothing more important in life than your marriage right now. Now, again, the command in these verses, again, is that the husband and wife are not to divorce one another. But if they do, don't remarry right away. Now, I want to present some verses in the Bible to you. And these may be unpleasant Bible verses, but again, we want to put all the verses together. Look at Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 32, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in 5:32 of Matthew, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." This is strong language there in your Bible. What God is saying here, he's saying again, whosoever put his wife, that is for fornication. Again, there's the exception clause. You have an exception there. That's very important. Fornication. Fornication is any type of continual, prolonged type of gross immorality that goes on. Look, if you will, at Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. In Mark 10, verse number 2, 10:2 of Mark, "And the Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away." There's that bill of divorcement. That's illegal paperwork. By the way, if Moses gave a bill of divorcement, then if divorce is sin, then wouldn't be Moses sanctioning sin? Of course he would, but he's not. Again, divorce is not sin. It's what led you to divorce. Sin led you to divorce. Jesus answered in verse 5 and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept." Again, notice that phrase, the hardness of your heart, because you would not submit to the Holy Spirit of God, you would not submit to the authority of the Word of God, and you wouldn't listen to your wife, and you wouldn't listen to your husband, and there because of your sin, God allowed you to have divorce. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Ethan was going to attend a wedding, and the wedding was pushed back. I said, why was the wedding pushed back? He said, well, the girl's parents are upset that the boy is going to take their daughter away. They don't want their daughter taken away. They want their daughter to stay close by to him. I said, are they Christians? He said, yes. I said, well, there's a verse in the Bible about a leaving your father and mother. And you go off with your husband and you start a new life together. A man who wants his daughter constantly around him and hopefully she married somebody that's going to stay in town is not rash. My wife left her family to follow me back to my hometown to stay in New Jersey. We've been here for 32 years. And we made every effort to visit her family, sometimes twice, and on occasion even three times a year we traveled down there so that she could be with her family. But a man will leave his father, mother, cleave to his wife, and they twain, verse 8, shall be one flesh, and they are no more twain, but one flesh. Again, there's no longer two people. You're one unit. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again in the same manner. And he said, and whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. So again, these are some strong language here from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter number 16. I want you to understand, again, we're reading verses of Scripture, and we're going to put all the pieces together. We're seeing one side of the coin right now. In Luke 16, verse number 18, Luke 16:18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marry her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. The teaching of Scripture and from our God is that marriage is to be for life, and it only ends when death occurs. Now, that is what God is trying to stress in these verses. That's why over and over again God is so adamant about make sure your marriage is permanent. You enter into marriage with this idea that this is permanent. This is the way it's going to be until you die. When my wife and I were younger, we would often joke about, if one of us die, we're going to get remarried. My wife has forbidden me to remarry. She says she will come back and haunt me. And so, like you're doing right now. So I cannot, if anything happens to her, I am forbidden by her to remarry, because in her mind, death does not end the marriage. I don't know how it is in your world, Brother Ronald. Is that, they're going to come back and, So there it is. We can all joke and tease about that, but when one does pass away, the marriage bond is broken. The marriage has ended. Now, nowhere in Scripture, now, mind you, nowhere in Scripture is divorce encouraged. And it's just the opposite is the case. So God never encourages divorce. God is always discouraging it, and trying to promote the idea that this is a permanent bond. You want this thing to last. And we have seen two times in Scripture where there are exceptions. The exception is when there is fornication and when there is a unsaved partner decides, I'm done, I don't want to be married to a Christian, and packs up and leaves. We saw that in Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 9, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 15. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 again, we see this idea in verse 15, 7:15. But if the unbelieving depart, or if the unbelieving divorce, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Again, sometimes when we're living in a bad marriage because one partner is lost, one is saved, it is a very tumultuous marriage. And does God want a tumultuous relationship? Of course, He does not. God has called us to peace here, He says. Let there be peace. Now, there's a lot of things that we talk about in marriage. People, suppose you're living with somebody who's abusive. Should a woman stay with a man when she's constantly a punching bag? And there have been preachers who have counseled their wives and said, you need to stay there. No. You are not to stay in a dangerous situation. You are not to stay in an abusive situation. God has not called you to be a punching bag or to be abuse either partner, to be physically hurt, harmed, or any way, shape, or form like that. And there's a thousand things that can go wrong in marriage where a marriage can be a dangerous thing in some cases. And God would not expect you to stay there. That would be insanity. He says in verse number 11 of chapter 7, He uses that word conjunction. And let's start with verse 10 again. And unto the married Christians, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Notice the word but. And it's a troubling if you don't understand the scriptures, is it not? But if you depart, but if divorce happens, is what he's saying here. Do you see that? God doesn't say, you know what? Divorce can never happen. He says, but if she departs. And when God used the word she, he's not picking on women here. We understand he's making an example here. But if he or she leaves, remain unmarried. Paul says here that if the wife disobeys this command and divorces her husband, and it's the same command for the husband. If they dissolve the marriage, they must remain unmarried. Remember, these are believers. These are true Christians. And God says, don't remarry, so that if you repent of that sin that caused you to divorce, you can go back to your spouse. And again, we can come up with all the hypothetical. But Pastor, what if? And there's 1,000 ifs, is there not? Suppose the wife or the husband is guilty of adultery. Pastor, what if? And what about this, Pastor? What if Pastor throws this? We talk about all those all day long, but it doesn't change the formula. Remain unmarried, and hopefully the sin will resolve itself. Now, suppose one partner divorces and quickly remarries another. I know I've seen that happen. I can think of, again, 25 years as pastor, 26 this year, actually, and many years prior to that being an assistant pastor. I've seen a lot of things in the ministry. I've seen a lot, dealt with a lot of people in my time. And I can think of a young couple right now that she was guilty of adultery. He was verbally abusive and mean, and she ran off with some other guy, had a child out of wedlock, and she divorced her husband, and immediately, almost before the ink was dry on the divorce paper, she married the next guy. That's against the scriptures. God says remain unmarried. Don't do anything rash right away. But one sin usually leads to another sin. When we're in a state of rebellion, there's generally few breaks on our vehicle. We're full tilt, 100 miles, going down the road, disobeying God, and nobody's going to tell us what to do. Only to end up crashing sometime a month, year, 2 years later and realize, what in the world did I just do? When we wake up out of the insanity we just did. And that's what sin is. Isn't sin always bad? I mean, if you were reading the life of King David and you stopped at 2 Samuel chapter number 10, you would say, this guy's great. What an awesome man. Then you get to chapter 11 of 2 Samuel and say, what in the world happened? What happened to my hero? What happened to the man of God? What happened to the sweet psalmist of Israel? He just committed adultery. Not only did he commit adultery, but he murdered that woman's husband, a devoted man. You see, David committed adultery, and then his sin, he panicked, and that's what sin does. It usually causes us to go to another sin because we're not thinking straight. And you see, this is all people do this all the time. I got to cover this up, and you can never cover sin. Sin doesn't stay buried. It always digs itself out of the grave. No matter how deep you bury it, sin will always dig itself out of the grave. That's why God tells us over and over again, be sure your sin will find you out. Moses killed an Egyptian, and he buried his body in the sand. Of all the dumb places to bury a body. That night a wind blows over. Next thing you know, well, what happened here? I thought I buried him. Yeah, well, the wind came along and uncovered him. And now there's that dead Egyptian over there. And what does Moses do? He runs into the wilderness, runs away, and spends 40 years out there in the wilderness. Sin always says, you know, we panic, and then we do something else. And then we do something else. Remember, these two believers, again, two Christians, God says, don't remarry so that you can get back. And the first thing to see is that Paul gives no permission to separate. But he does acknowledge that divorce may happen because sinful disobedience. He simply warns against further complication arising out of additional sin. At least because God knows our sinful nature. We do one sin, we are apt to do another one. He's saying, now before you make another mistake, before you do something else wrong, I want you to stop. You need to reflect on these things. How many times have, I know, speaking of personal experience, in my life when I got angry, I have never done anything good when I was angry. I've been warned by people, whether it was friends or my mother or my brothers, and even my wife, don't do that right now. You're not thinking straight. You're angry. I don't care. And next thing you know, you do something else stupid. You're sinning by being angry, and then you go on to something else. And how many times have I dealt with people? Pastor, I don't care. You're going to get arrested and go to jail. I don't care. I can go to jail. I don't care. Then next thing, Pastor, can you get me out of jail? Pastor, I don't belong in it. No, you belong there. That's where you belong. But I don't belong. No, you did. You committed a crime, and that's where people who commit crimes go. You got to bail me out. No, I don't have to do anything. I told you I'm not bailing you out last night, and now you need to stay there and think for a while and calm down. You're cruel. No, you learn a lot of lessons while you sit in jail with all the demon-possessed psychotic individuals in there. And realize maybe I shouldn't be doing what I did, and I need to get right with God. Prisons are bad places, by the way. County jail is bad. You ever want to get up in county jail? Prisons are bad. I get letters from prisoners. It's bad in here, Pastor. Well, so is murder. You shouldn't have committed murder. And that's why you're in there. Why is the divorced wife advised to remain unmarried again? Paul is not saying that she is to stay in an unmarried state forever, but that she or he is to stay single. Hopefully they will repent and go back to their Christian spouses. That is what is going on here. Paul is after reconciliation, and throughout the Bible, God is always wanting reconciliation. He wants the believer to put the marriage back together and in a new or more biblical way. And since all believers have a Bible, and since all believers have the Holy Spirit of God, again, they have all the tools necessary to work out the marriage. Why doesn't the marriage work out? Again, because of sin and rebellion. And I want us to understand a very important truth, and it's vital to understand. When divorce occurs, no matter the reason, and understand, again, it's sin that led to the divorce. Even if the divorce is on illegitimate grounds, the divorce itself is not illegitimate. Here comes the question we face in our society today and in Christian circles, that there is to be no such thing ever as divorce. There are Christians who say, again, God does not allow divorce. Well, that's insane. God does allow divorce. We see it in the Bible. Moses gave the right there and gave all the legal wranglings for it. And we have two exceptions in the New Testament. There is divorce. But again, even if you get divorced on something that's not on biblical grounds, your divorce is not an illegitimate divorce. It's legitimate. Divorce itself is not illegitimate. You get divorced, my friend, you are divorced. When you go through all the proper and legal channels, you are an unmarried person. Now, I want you to understand something. The phrase that people will quote, this idea that you are still married in God's sight, is not a biblical phrase and cannot be found. You're divorced? Yes, I'm divorced. Well, in the sight of God, you're still married. No. No. That's not a biblical statement. That is a man-made statement. That is taking Scripture out of its context and ignoring all the other passages. Divorce is divorce. There's no more marriage. The marriage is dissolved. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 24 in your Bible. And I realize people call me a heretic, people call me liberal and all kinds of things because of what I'm saying to you tonight. But again, I'm not stressing or encouraging divorce. I'm simply trying to look at Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter number 24, verse number 1, when a man had taken a wife, and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her. Again, when God is using an example here of a man with his wife, again, this works both ways, all right? It's not like the man is innocent and men can do no wrong here. Don't think that's not all what God is saying. Just understand, God's not in the she slash he phraseology. He's giving you an example here. The idea that he finds some uncleanness in her, the fact that she's guilty of some sin. And in the Bible, the sin must be a serious sin. That's why, let me rephrase what I said before in the previous message. And the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with the Pharisees, say, Master, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? Because in those days and times, if a man just, if his wife burnt the bagels, we're divorced. And so can we get rid of a wife for anything? He's like, no. Here in Scripture, if there's some uncleanness, you find uncleanness in your husband. Your husband guilty of fornication. Your wife is guilty of fornication. There's adultery going on, some gross sin going on. Then let them write her a bill of divorce and give it to her husband and send it out of his house. And when she is departed out of the house, she may go and be another man's wife. Now, I want you to notice verse 2. What is he saying here? When she's departed out of her house, she may go and be another man's wife. Do you see that? You're divorced. She is free to remarry. So she is not perpetually, or he is not perpetually, forever married to that person. They are divorced. The marriage is over. The marriage has ended. And she can depart, and she may go and be another man's wife because the marriage has ended. What about the verses in the New Testament? Again, well, what about this verse? We have to either say that, one, we have to put all of them together and come up with a logical answer, or say there's a definite contradiction in Scripture. Because what Moses is saying here and what we see in other places contradicts the idea of don't ever remarry. No, again, don't divorce. Don't divorce. But if you do, here's how you do it. Don't work it out. Verse 3, and if the latter husband, notice that word, latter husband, means hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send her out of the house, or the latter husband die, which took her to be wife, her former husband. Notice that phrase. It doesn't say her continual, perpetual, forever husband, even though she's divorced. It's her former. There's no marriage. It's a former husband. How many of you ever had a job, you quit and got another job somewhere else? Anybody? And what would you say about your past place of employment? That was my former employer. I no longer work there. I'm no longer part of that company. Her former husband, which sent her away and not take her again to be his wife, after she is defiled, that is an abomination for the Lord. And thou shalt cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So again, this idea, this phrase that she's still married in God's sight is not biblical and cannot be found. Look, if you will, at John's Gospel, chapter number 4. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. I've always loved the story of the woman at the well. If I was to give my top five Bible stories, the woman at the well would be there. The disciples on the shore of Galilee after the resurrection of Christ would be in there. The demoniac of the Gadareans would be in there. Those are some of my favorite moments in the Gospels. Here we have a woman, a sinful woman, a woman who's lived a rough life. She has had a rough life, and we understand that. Now, the Lord is dealing with her. He's offered her everlasting life through this special water he has to offer. He says in verse number 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Now, stop right there. He says, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. Why? Because she's been divorced. Jesus Thou hast said, well, I have no husbands, for thou hast had 5 husbands. I want you to notice the phraseology here. Thou hast had. Hast had. If there's no such thing as divorce, and marriage is permanent, and even after you get divorced and you're still married, as some teach, then how come our Lord tells this woman, you hast had? What's he saying? They're no longer your husband. This woman got married legal and she got divorced legally. She went through all the proper paperwork. And the Lord says, you've been married 5 times. Thou hast had. He doesn't say you have 5 husbands. He doesn't say that. You have 5 men that you're married. He doesn't say that. You hast had. In your lifetime, you've had 5 husbands. But they're no longer your husband. You see the phraseology there? You see what he's saying? And then he says, you know, you're living with a guy. You're not even married right now. Now you're just living in sin with somebody that's not your husband. So the phrase, still married in God's sight, is not biblical and it cannot be found in your Bible. It's taking one of those verses in the gospel and trying to make them stand alone while ignoring all the other verses in the Bible that talk about former husband, former wife, hast had, and things of that nature. Divorce ends the marriage. It's no longer married. Divorce breaks a marriage. And that's what we need to see in Scripture. Now again, all throughout the Bible, God wants us to seek reconciliation. God wants us to try to put marriage. But once a marriage ends, a person is free from that bond. And with anybody with divorce, there's always issues. Divorce affects people. I've seen it affect people in many ways. And it affects self-esteem. It affects our confidence. It affects how we think about ourselves. And so many things are questioned when that divorce does happen. Everybody's shaken by it. Sometimes people joke about it. We ought not to ever joke about divorce. I know one person says, oh, I remember when I got divorced from my husband. Nobody in church here, nobody, any of you know. But they say, oh, I got divorced from my husband. I was the first one in my family to ever get divorced. None of my cousins or anybody ever got, and then I got divorced. And the next thing I know, all my cousins start divorcing their husbands. And she's like kind of bragging about how she led the way for divorce. It's like, well, you're bragging about that. It's nothing to brag about. But that same person, by the way, I remember when they were going through their divorce, how absolutely devastated they were by it and what they emotionally went through. They didn't eat. They lost 50, 60 pounds. It looked like a human skeleton. It affected them terribly as they went through that. She went through that horrible, horrible process. That's why God says, you need to think about this. You're going to separate. You're going to divorce. Well, don't remarry. Think about it for a while. And get yourself back together and try to work this thing out because it does a lot of damage. If you're divorced, the marriage is over, and another one has remarried, you're free to marry. Because the marriage is over. Again, depending on the preacher you ask, and this is a very controversial topic. Well, can I remarry? Well, are you divorced? Well, there's no marriage. You don't have a marriage. You know, I sold a car once. Am I free to buy another car? Yeah. Now, that's cheaping it. No, but said, yeah, I don't have that car anymore. I don't have a wife no more. I hast had a wife. But I don't have one right now. So, some people want to get married. My mother divorced my father after 45 years of marriage, maybe. She couldn't take it anymore. My mom often joked. She said, I'll never, ever, ever, ever remarry. She's not going to do it. Not looking for another man. Don't want another man. I had one. That was enough. I don't want another one. She'd often joke, and she said, if the Lord Jesus Christ told me to come down and told me to remarry, I would tell him no. And But I'm not going to remarry. Don't want anybody else. My friend, divorce is divorce. It's done. It's legally broken the marriage bond. So as we look back and we think about all that we've seen through Scripture, but again, we have stressed over and over and over and over again in this study the idea of marriage and what a marriage means. It's one flesh. We've all seen Siamese twins, twins that were born connected at birth. And sometimes they can legally separate or medically separate that and both parties can live. But sometimes they say, you know what, if we do this, one of them will die because this one is living off the heart of this one or the lungs of this one. And if we separate them, this one's going to die. And it's a terrible thing. And they generally always stay together as conjoined twins. Well, when we get married, we become one flesh. We have become one. And if you're going to tear that apart, then there are things going to happen. So we want to, again, stress this idea of what marriage is, what divorce is, and what remarriage is. That God wants permanence in the marriage relationship. And God wants reconciliation for divorce amongst saved people to get that marriage back together. But if divorce happens and it's legally divorced and said and done, there is no more marriage. That's what tonight's message is, that the marriage is done. You're not married anymore. You have that legal paperwork that has separated it. Father, bless this time. We don't like this topic. We don't find enjoyment in it. It can be painful to look at and study. It can be sometimes so easy for Satan to tempt us with these things. But Lord, we know that you've stressed over and over again, help us tonight as Christians to seek your face, to want your perfect will and way in our life. Help us as Christians, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into our live stream service. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I want to ask you a question. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? If your answer is no, maybe so, or I don't know, I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that we can be 100% sure. If we look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So firstly, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners, you and me both. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So secondly, the Bible tells us that the wages or the punishment of sin is eternal death, is eternal hell. Romans chapter 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So thirdly, the Bible tells us that salvation is eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say that it's through being a good person or through good works. It's through Jesus Christ who paid the wages for our sin. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So lastly, the Bible tells us that we shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say that we might be saved or God doesn't say I'll think about saving you. It says thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So it's that simple, my friend. So I pray that nobody that's watched this live stream service goes to sleep tonight without knowing their eternal destination, without knowing that they're 100% sure whether they're going to heaven or not. If you're still unsure, please feel free to reach out to us. God bless you.